The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today, friend. We're going through Bob Wilkins' new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Chapter 7 today, The Christian and Apostasy. What does that word mean, apostasy? What if a believer stops believing or changes their mind about one of the fundamental doctrines? Let's talk about it. First, let me tell you about our website, faithalone.org. There you can find out about ministries we're involved in and free resources like our magazine, Grace in Focus. Subscriptions are without cost to those who live in the lower 48 United States. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, Bob, we're now here at Chapter 7 of your book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and we're here at a very hot topic.
What's that hot topic today?
It is the Christian and apostasy.
Okay, now what is apostasy? It sounds like some type of pasta dish. Maybe, is it like rigatoni or something, or spaghetti and meatball?
Actually, it's something that tastes much worse. It's what happens if I stop believing the saving message?
Okay, so apostasy is falling away from the faith,
yeah,
and particularly doctrinally. So
right.
A person denies a fundamental of faith, and what we're specifically talking about here is the saving message,
the
promise of life.
Someone who used to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. I'm sure we all know some people like that who now basically reject that message, say it's either untrue or even worse, maybe they say there is no God. You know, I'm sure known children who've gone off to college and they've gotten caught up in some of the philosophies of the world and say, no, I now reject even the existence of God.
Yeah, I have a good friend who's a pastor and his son grew up in Awana and his son came to faith and very solid believer. And in his 20s, he lost his faith and became an atheist.
Yeah.
He's still born again. At least we're going to talk about that because that's the issue. Most people in Christianity, as you know, Mike, say that if you fall away, not just on, justification by faith alone, but any fundamental issue, then you either lose your salvation or prove you weren't saved in the first place.
Right. I hear that a lot, is that anyone who falls away, they either lost their salvation or they never had in the first place. They never really believed to begin with.
Right. A lot of people talk about this Ed Sullivan faith. We have some really, really big faith.
Right. But how about what does the Bible teach about apostasy? Is that something that can really happen to a believer?
Yeah, there's lots of verses in the Bible that warn us about falling away. And of course, there's really two types of apostasy. There's moral apostasy, falling away from the faith morally. James 5, 19 and 20 talks about that, if a believer strays from the truth. And that's really talking morally, although it could be talking doctrinally as well. And you've also got that in Galatians, if a believer strays and you bring him back, then you're restoring the brother. So there's moral and doctrinal apostasy. And yes, the scriptures are clear that that's a possibility for the believer. There's so many warning passages. The book of Hebrews, of course, has five warning passages, and all five concern falling away from the faith, both in terms of doctrine and practice. In the book of Hebrews, they were tempted to go back and start offering animal sacrifices again because they were tempted to start believing that the blood of Christ was not sufficient for their eternal regeneration, for being saved once and for all. So as a result, you have five warnings there, and there's warnings all through the New Testament. And everybody recognizes there's warnings against apostasy. Yeah. So the only question is, what happens if a believer becomes an apostate?
Yeah, I guess it's one question is, why even give the warning if it's not a possibility for a believer to fall away?
Right. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for God to warn people not to do something that they're incapable of doing.
Right.
Now, there are people who hold that. Some old-line Calvinists would say it's impossible for the genuine, what they would call a genuine believer, to fall away, but that the warning passages God uses to keep the believer on track. Which is kind of odd because if he's made me constitutionally unable to fall away, then I can't fall away even if I tried.
Right. Yeah.
But there, the new Calvinists, there's a new version of Calvinists. People like Tom Schreiner and John Piper, and they say what the believer has is initial salvation, but the believer must persevere in order to gain what they call final salvation. In fact, Schreiner and his friend R. Dale Kennedy have a book called The Race Set Before Us. And in that book, they say that the Christian is running a race and that the prize they're running toward is everlasting life. And they will win the prize of everlasting life if they persevere in running the race until the end. Well, that's not the Calvinism that I was taught when I was at Dallas Seminary back in the late 70s and early 80s. That's a new version of Calvinism. The old Calvinism would say, no, perseverance is guaranteed. If you're a true believer, you will persevere. And if you fail to persevere, you prove you never had it in the first place.
Right.
But that's not the way the new Calvinists speak.
So one argument I hear arguing that apostasy is not possible is that, oh, you know, all those commands in the Bible to believe, you have to continue. They should be translated continue to believe. And so you have to continue to believe to the end of your life. You know, otherwise you won't be saved.
Right. And that we've discussed this before. But the big problem with that, Mike, is that what people are doing is reading their theology into Scripture. In other words, they're intentionally misinterpreting Scripture and twisting the Scripture to make it fit. I remember there was a movie, I think it was called The Cincinnati Kid. And Carl Malden, who's one of my peeps, a Serb, Carl Malden was married somehow to Anne Margaret. Now, I don't get it because Anne Margaret was this beautiful woman and Carl Malden wasn't exactly a handsome guy. But anyway, she was doing a jigsaw puzzle and she was working on the puzzle and she had her scissors out and she was cutting a puzzle piece. And he said, "What in the world are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And Anne Margaret says, "Well, it wasn't fitting, so I cut it so it would fit." Well, I mean, that's more or less what a lot of people do with the Scriptures.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
When Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life," the words, "whoever believes in him," is a participle with an article with it. It's called an articular participle, and it's in the present tense. Well, the present tense is not significant when you're dealing with a participle that's functioning as a noun. It basically says that the believer, any believer, will not perish but has everlasting life. And if you hold the view that hapistuon, the believer, refers to continuous faith, which, like you say, Mike, there's a lot of people that hold that view.
Yeah.
Then ultimately, you're not saved at a moment in time, right?
Right.
Because you haven't believed yet.
Yeah. You haven't believed
belief
long.
Belief is a process.
Right.
How long does the process have to go? Well, they say your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, if you hold that view, and by the way, I recently debated someone who actually said this, Sean Griffin. If you hold that view, then you say there's not a single person on earth today that's born again.
Right.
Not one. Nobody has everlasting life. You only get it if you die after a life of continuous faith.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a process, it really goes contrary to Jesus' illustrations in the Gospel of John, right?
Yeah, give me an example.
Just one drink and you'll never thirst again.
Yeah, in fact, the woman at the well in John 4:15 says, "Okay, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming here and drawing water."
Right.
She gets the fact that one drink was going to forever quench your thirst. She just doesn't understand he's not talking about literal water.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, if she kept on drinking and drinking and drinking, she'd never thirst that way, too. But
right.
The point is, this is one drink and you'll never thirst, not continuous drinking.
Yeah, and the same thing with the bread of life in John 6.
Right.
In John 6:35, "He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst."
Right.
"Will never hunger and never thirst" are statements of eternal security.
Yeah.
The moment we come to Jesus, okay, then we're never going to hunger. The moment we believe in him, we'll never thirst. And to say that it takes a lifetime of that is ultimately to contradict justification by faith alone. Right. Because a lot of people aren't comfortable with that.
Right. I mean, why do you think even some people say they're free grace, they seem to be uncomfortable with apostasy. And they say, no, that also shows that they never believed in Jesus in the first place.
Yeah, you've spoken before and you've done some YouTube videos on focused free grace versus flexible free grace. And some of the flexible free grace people, not all, but some of the flexible free grace people would say what you're saying.
Yeah.
That if a person falls away, then they show they weren't ever born again in the first place.
They seem to make believe into something special. But if salvation isn't a danger for apostasy, what is the danger for a Christian who apostatizes?
Yeah. And by the way, I got that wrong in my dissertation. It's apostatizes.
Ah.
In my dissertation, I put apostatize about 30 times.
Okay.
And I put apostatize about 30 times, and they corrected it. Anyway, apostatize. I don't know why.
Well, at least I was on your side for your dissertation.
Yes, you were. But anyway, if a Christian commits apostasy, then what the Christian does is they become a person who is no longer experiencing God's grace. They're no longer experiencing his favor. They're no longer experiencing his blessings. They're in the spiritual far country. And unless they come back to the faith, the rest of this life, they're going to be the prodigal son. The rest of this life, they're not going to be enjoying fellowship with God or with God's people. On top of that, at the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to be rebuked for having fallen away. And they're going to not rule and reign with Christ in the life to come. There'll be some level of shame there. Now, don't get me wrong. Every believer in the life to come is going to have everlasting life, and they're going to have joy and great life. But how full that life will be depends on what we've done in this life. Remember, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, that's true both now and in the life to come. So at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be consequences. Of course, the person who experiences shame and sadness will be over it, I think, in a matter of moments, because they're going to be in a glorified body. But the consequences will go on. That person who dies an apostate will never rule, never reign, and they're going to miss out on all of the overcomer prizes, like the hidden man or the right to the tree of life. Any treasure they laid up, of course, will be there. Matthew 6:19-21. If we've laid up treasure in heaven, that can't be taken away. So they'll have that.
Right.
But apostasy is not a beautiful thing. It's bad for you. It's bad for your family. It's bad for your church family. It's bad for your neighbors. It's bad for everybody, because walking with God is a good thing and not walking with God is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's good to walk with God here and now, and it'll be good to walk with him in eternity.
And how close we walk with him in eternity depends on what we do with this life. Earl Rodmarker liked to say, this life is training time for reigning time. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And with those words, let's end with, keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On the next episode, what is repentance and why do most think it's required for salvation? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.